We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
6:43, 17 before 7. Tommy Tucker, WWL. The weather will be a lot better than it was yesterday. I'm not certain, absent tropical weather that is dangerous or heavy rain that can cause flood problems, that it could be worse than it was yesterday. It was just a good day to stay inside. Highs of 66 today, rather, partly cloudy, and 67 tomorrow, so very nice. A 40% chance for showers on Wednesday, 20% Thursday, 40% Friday, and then Saturday and Sunday spectacular with plenty of sunshine and highs in the 60s. So we can look forward to that. And cool-wise or temperature-wise, it does not look like we're going to get out of the mid-60s for the entire week. And in case you missed it on Newell's show today, and I guess I should tell you it's 54 degrees, but on Newell's show today, he's going to talk to representatives of the Development Corporation, and a guest will be in here for the first time commenting on what happened, what's going on, etc. So don't miss that with Newell at noon. It is it's a must-listen-to radio, 1031 Canal Street Development. Mark Dennis joins us, professor of pediatrics and specialist in infectious diseases at Vanderbilt University Medical Center. Good morning, sir. How are you?
Good morning. Nice to join you.
Thank you. So a lot of people, and rightly so, were very shocked and disturbed at Kobe Bryant's death. But we also got something else going on with this coronavirus, and there have been, I guess, what, more deaths in China?
Yeah, apparently every morning when I'm checking the news, too, that the number of cases and the number of serious illnesses looks like it's increasing.
So I'm a little bit confused about the seriousness of the illness, and I see people are being hospitalized and all precautions taken, I guess, when handling the patients. Do we know exactly what this virus can cause yet, or is it still an unknown area that we have to watch?
I think it's an area we have to watch. The virus in 2003, SARS, was a close cousin to this virus, and it took several months to figure out, you know, how it was transmitted directly, how severe it was. And I think we're in that same situation with this new coronavirus. This is really a new virus in humans. And so it's doing its thing, and we're having to react to it and respond to it.
So when people died, and I think it was like 81 people died over the weekend in China, I know they're dying of the virus, but what is it that's leading them to expire? Is it pneumonia? Sure. Does it go into something else?
All the information so far is consistent with, like I said, with what SARS did back in 2003, is that it's leading to a respiratory infection and a severe pneumonia. And I think most of the deaths are likely associated with a severe pneumonia caused by the virus. And right now, it looks like that's worse in patients who already previously had some illness or were aged or had an underlying illness of some kind.
Well, for people who don't know, what is an R-naught?
It's an R0. It's a little zero down below the R. It just means the reproduction number. It means if I'm in the room with a lot of people and I have the infection, how many people will I infect, basically? So a low one, like one or two, means a virus won't likely spread very far very quickly. A large number, five or above, suggests a virus that can spread very quickly. Measles would be an example of a high R naught of people if you were in a room with people who hadn't been exposed to measles before.
So what have we learned about the coronavirus? And one big question I have is, can this mutate into other viruses? And if that's the case, what happens then?
No, it can't mutate into other viruses. We got to make sure we're not doing science fiction.
All these
kinds of viruses are capable of moving between species. It's rare, and when it occurs, it's really hard for the virus to stay in another place. the virus is, looks like, from what we know so far, all the different isolates from different people, all are very similar. If there's any changes in them, they're very little ones that are common among normal viruses. So it won't become another kind of virus. It won't become the flu. It won't become something else. It's still going to be a coronavirus. It just may adapt to grow a little bit better in humans, and the disease may change a little bit over time. That's more likely to occur.
So in the time that we first discovered it till now, what have we learned about it? Or have we learned anything?
I think we've learned a lot. We've learned that people here in this country who've come in with the virus with proper isolation so far, that the transmission to other people doesn't, at least yet, hasn't been documented to be occurring, which is good news that you can find and isolate cases of people who might get ill after traveling, and that you can prevent transmission. That's an important thing. We've learned that this virus may cause a range of disease. So a lot of people look like they're having some milder disease, more like just a flu-like illness. It's not influenza, but a flu-like illness where they're ill and not feeling well, but they're not progressing to very serious or lethal disease.
I have a couple of questions that people are texting in, and I'd love to pass them along to you. And you can text your questions, as a matter of fact, at 260-1870-870. Text your questions to 870-870. And when we come back, you'll be able to, the doctor will be able to answer them for you. Mark Dennison, professor of pediatrics and a specialist in infectious diseases at Vanderbilt University Medical Center. And we're talking about the coronavirus. 10 till 7, traffic now, WWL. 6:53, Tommy Tucker, 7 till 7, talking to Mark Dennison, professor of pediatrics and a specialist in infectious diseases at Vanderbilt University Medical Center. I'm just kind of laughing, I believe, Mark, because it would be doctor, would it not?
Correct.
Yeah, I thought so. So some of the texts that are coming in about the coronavirus pertain to travel, I guess, and vaccinations. Is there a vaccine, especially if you travel overseas, asks this text.
There is not a vaccine for this coronavirus. The NIH and other organizations are working rapidly on that, but that would likely take at least 2 to 3 months before a vaccine could even get into humans at all.
Yeah, I saw I think it was a senator or a U.S. representative demanding that the federal government get more involved or throw more resources at, I guess, developing a vaccination for this. Is it a matter of more people working on it for longer periods to develop a vaccine, or is there some kind of, I don't know if the word's germination period or whatever,
yeah,
where it has?
Yeah.
Go ahead.
We've been working with the NIH for several years on a vaccine, working on vaccines and antibodies and antivirals against MERS and also against some of the bad viruses that seem to be related to this virus in China. And every coronavirus is a little bit different. It's kind of like why we have to get influenza vaccine every year. They differ each time. So there is a period of time. In fact, the pace that's being done right now to develop a vaccine would probably be the fastest in human history if it comes to pass. So, in fact, the NIH has been profoundly supportive. The government has been supportive of coronavirus research even when there weren't any epidemics. So I think that I think the speed is as fast as it can go. The resources that are into this are pretty extraordinary, and everybody, teams around the country and around the world are gearing up for that. So there just is a period of time it just takes before you can get something developed and into humans safely.
You know, I asked that because I saw over the weekend China is building a hospital. They hope to have the entire thing built within 10 days, which begs the imagination. But I guess if you put enough people working on it, I was just wondering, as it relates to the virus, if you got enough people working on it, just is the time now. How would the U.S. respond, in your opinion, are we prepared to respond to a major outbreak of whatever virus in this country?
I think so. I mean, like I said, it's always about the bug and what it does, and we have to respond to the course that it takes. But my reading and being involved in the CDC briefings on this particular virus is that they're using very, very careful case finding, isolation, tracking of people who've been in contact with people who are ill. So I think the approaches they're taking are very prudent, very appropriate to the degree of the risk and threat to people in this country right now, which I think remains low at this moment.
Somebody texted in about, and I believe I know the answer to this, but just to make sure, will a pneumonia vaccine help in any way with this virus?
So the pneumococcal vaccine is a fantastic vaccine. It would help anybody who would be at risk from any kind of a secondary infection. You know, sometimes people get a pneumonia after they get the influenza virus, and that can be very serious. So having the pneumonia vaccine could help prevent second infections. It won't prevent this particular infection from occurring.
So how does this end, Doctor, in terms of, I guess if you look at SARS or MERS, does it eventually stop finding people that are susceptible to it, or keeps finding people that are immune to it, and then it dies off? How does that work?
Ideally, what worked with SARS was that public health measures, finding people who were ill and finding their contacts and identifying how long they had to be sort of isolated from others, was an effective public health measure. We would hope that would be the case with this one as well. The trajectory right now appears to be still that we're still in the early stages of finding out how far this is going to spread before it can be contained. In the meantime, we're working to try to develop antivirals, specific drugs that would, like, you know, Tamiflu for influenza, similar to that, that would be able to directly treat people who are ill.
Cultures are different all over the world. I did see where this market sold wolf pups, I think it was, for consumption, and somebody texted in and said, my puppy almost died of a coronavirus. Is this the same virus, and isn't there a vaccine for dogs for this?
The coronaviruses are very different. They're like every species has a coronavirus that's its very own and that don't cross over species. So the dog canine coronaviruses, the ones for cats, the ones for dogs, they do not infect humans. So it's not the same. There are some vaccines for animal coronaviruses. Those have not been, they're okay. They don't work really well, and they definitely would not work against this particular virus.
So where did this come from, if not from animals?
Looking at the virus sequence and what we've been studying for the last 30 years, I would say that the very, very high probability is this came from a bat. This is a bat coronavirus. Bats are wonderful animals. We're dependent on them, but they also carry a lot of coronaviruses, and many of those share those are viruses that appear to be able to cross over into humans. So I was wrong about not any animal viruses. Bat viruses look like they're capable of moving into humans occasionally. Usually they don't cause any disease or any problems in humans, but occasionally one can find humans, and it might work through another animal in a market, but probably not wolf pup.
Thank you, David. I appreciate your time. Dr. Mark Dennison, professor of pediatrics and a specialist in infectious diseases at Vanderbilt University Children.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.